Hey, New Life Church, so glad to see all of you joining us together, worshiping with us today. Hello to everybody that's either home or away. So glad that you guys are tuning in with us each week. I continue to hear great reports from those of you that are tuning in. I want you to know we miss you dearly, and so glad that you are connecting with us in this way and making it a priority. So proud of you. Thanks for joining in. We are in our series, One Day at a Time. And today is going to be part four of that series. We'll close this series up next week. I hope that you've enjoyed it as much as I have. And this series, it is focused on the historical account of a man named Joseph. This story is recorded in the Bible in the book of Genesis. It's the longest recorded story of a single person in the book of Genesis. It goes from chapter 37 all the way to chapter 50. And Joseph's story for us is really about loyalty to God over the course of a long period of time. You see, because when Joseph was 17 years old, God gave Joseph a dream. His dream really spoke to his future significance as a powerful leader. But little did Joseph know that over the course of these 22 plus years, that he would go through incredible hardship, betrayal, and have plenty of opportunity to quit on the dream before he got to the dream destination. So Joseph, he gives us this incredible example of what it means to be loyal to God even when your circumstances seem completely wrecked. And in the first part of the series, we looked at Joseph's family and kind of where he came from. And he came from a very dysfunctional family. And so we talked about certain influencers that help mold the family, that each person brings influences from the past. There's influence in the present. And then the impact of the decisions that family members make and the impact of the different family stages that every family is in. But I want to remind you again that the history of your family does not have to be the story of your future, because Joseph is going to break the mold and he is not going to repeat some of the sins of the family in his past. In part two, we talked about how to handle the dream. How to handle the dream. Because if you want to know, first of all, I want you to know that God has a dream for your life. But if you want to know God's dream for your life, then first you have got to get to know God. But then humility plays a huge part in that. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more today. But if you can't even handle the dream, then you're not ready to handle the destiny. And Joseph, he was very prideful about being the favorite, being favored by his father, and being favored by God. It got him into some trouble. But also, if pride is in your heart, then we also know that insecurity is in your soul. And so don't just deal with the fruit of pride. Dig up the root of pride, which is insecurity. And then last week, part three, we talked about pits, palaces, in prisons, and that when life is in the pits, it means that you're where your current circumstances are inconsistent with your dreams, but don't give up on your dreams. Don't give up on your dreams just because they're inconsistent with your current circumstances. Maybe God's preparing you. And palaces is the part of the dream where it demands integrity. And Joseph, this is where he got caught up with Potiphar's wife, and she's trying to trick him and get him to come to bed with her, but he resisted temptation. He fled from temptation, and he's passing this test that says that he has character and integrity, that he's being prepared to handle a greater future. In prisons is all about helping others' dreams come true even while you're still waiting on yours. This is exactly what Joseph did. And maybe we're not supposed to follow our dreams. Maybe we follow God and our dreams follow us. So if you want to get caught up on all of the previous week's content, you can easily do that by going to newlifeforkokomo.org. You can go to our media page. There's an archive of all the messages there. You can get caught up on this great series in that way. But today, new content, we're talking about the power pipeline. The power pipeline. And how power comes to people. This is what we're going to discuss today. Because remember, Joseph had this significant dream. This dream that spoke of that he would become a powerful leader. And so we are going to jump in where we left off last week. Where we left off last week, Joseph, it was in prison. And if you remember, there was a cupbearer that was also thrown into the king's prison with Joseph. And this cupbearer had a dream. Joseph interpreted his dream. And he said, in 3 days, when you get up out of this prison and the king restores you back to your position, do one thing for me, remember me. Because Joseph was falsely accused and thrown into prison for a crime he didn't commit. And so the cupbearer, he gets released 3 days later, and he remembers Joseph not. So where we're about to jump back into the story, 2 full years have gone by since that incident with the cupbearer. 2 full years go by. Let's check out what's happening. And in the morning on this day, his mind was troubled. And so what happened the night before was Pharaoh, and Pharaoh is, he is the king of all of Egypt. So the king, named Pharaoh, he has this dream at night, and he's really disturbed by it. Someone else had dreams, right? And so in the morning, Pharaoh, his mind was troubled, so he sent for all the magicians and wise men of Egypt, and Pharaoh told them his dreams, but nobody could interpret them for him. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, he was like, oh, I just remembered. I remembered something. He says, I am reminded of my shortcomings. And essentially, the cupbearer remembers Joseph. When the Pharaoh has a dream and he can't be interpreted and all the magicians and wise men can't help him out, all of a sudden the cupbearer's like, oh, I know a guy. I wonder if he's even still in the prison. And so let's see what happens next. So the Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and sure enough, Joseph, he's sitting right where they left him 2 years ago. He's still in prison, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. I want you to remember this. He was quickly brought from the dungeon. And when he had shaved his head and shaved his face, cleaned his clothes, changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Listen to Joseph's reply. He says, I cannot. I can't interpret your dream. But watch what he does. But God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. Wow. Joseph, who has been interpreting dreams in prison, is now saying, no. The interpretation belongs to God. What humility he must have to just give God all the credit. He didn't need the accolades, and he's even standing before the king. Isn't the king someone you kind of want to show off to a little bit? Maybe the king can get you out of that prison, but he is true to his loyalty to God, and Joseph recognizes, it's not my power, it's God's, and God will give you the answer you desire. So Joseph, he listens to Pharaoh's dreams. And Pharaoh had 2 dreams, and Joseph listens to him. He says, actually, both dreams are one and the same. And Joseph explains to the Pharaoh that God has given you these dreams to reveal to you what is going to happen next so that you can respond accordingly. And here's what's going to happen, Pharaoh. God says that your dreams mean this, that for the next 7 years, you are going to have 7 years of great abundance. All of your crops are actually going to overproduce. You're going to have more crops than you've had in harvest before. 7 years of abundance. But then it will be followed by 7 years of famine. And then Joseph said, so God is revealing this to you so that you can prepare to store away grain, store away food for the 7 years during the 7 years of abundance. So that during the 7 years of famine, you'll survive the famine. Pharaoh was just absolutely impressed, greatly impressed with Joseph's response to his dream. He was so impressed that this Pharaoh says this. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of everything. And this is a common theme we've had with Joseph, isn't it? Joseph knew how to be the leader God was calling him to be, whether he was in a pit, whether he's in a palace, whether he's in prison. And now he's standing here before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh says, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. I wonder if when he was in the pit, when he was in the palace, when he was in the prison, when he was exercising his leadership, that God was actually preparing him for a moment such as this. Because it's one thing to rule yourself in the pit. It's another thing to rule all of those in the prison. It's one thing to rule Potiphar's house. But now, step by step, these little things that he has gone through are actually preparing him for a moment like this. The whole land of Egypt is now under Joseph's control. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring, which is his power of attorney. He gives this guy that came from the prison his power of attorney. And he took the signet ring from his finger and he put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in a chariot as his second in command, and people shouted before him, "Make way!" Thus they put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Can you imagine Joseph on this day? Joseph woke up in a prison and he went to bed in the palace of the king. Joseph woke up a criminal, went to bed that night, second in command, wearing the power of attorney to the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh. This serves as an unbelievable turn of events for Joseph. This is a major plot twist in Joseph's life. He has sat in prison 2 additional years after his encounter with the cupbearer and said, "Please remember me," to the king, and he's forgotten. But in one day, everything turns around. And this is what I want you to know today. In one day, everything can turn around. In one day, one response from God can be the plot twist of your life that can pull you out of the prison and bring liberty and freedom from the things that have bogged you down. In one day, there could be a plot twist in your life and you can be set free from the loneliness of those chains in that prison. In one day, he woke up in prison. He went to bed in the king's palace. He woke up and went to bed that night an executive officer of the entire country of Egypt. What an incredible turn of events. The prison then tested Joseph's response when bad things happen. So when bad things happen in our lives, maybe how we respond to those unlikely circumstances we face determine the next steps we take with God. And because Joseph continued to be loyal and faithful to God, the giver of his dream, God continues to show him favor. And then one day, God just gave him all of it all at once. And there's no way you would give it all at once to somebody unless you knew that they were capable and could handle it with integrity and with pure intention. But so he goes from zero to all at once. But that wasn't Joseph's whole story. It has been a long time coming. So the prison tested Joseph's response to bad things, but in his faithfulness, man, God proved that Joseph was ready for what God had for him next. So power had come to Joseph quickly. He was quickly scooped up from the prison, cleaned up, and then put in front of the Pharaoh. It came to him quickly, but only because he had been humbled and prepared, and he was ready for power. So where does power come from? Where does power even come from? Well, power comes from God. Power comes from God. And in Psalms it says this, in Psalm 62 it says, "One thing God has spoken, 2 things I have heard. Power belongs to you, God, and with you, Lord, is unfailing love." And then watch what it says in Romans 13:1. It says, "For there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God." So where does power come from? Power comes from God. And everybody wants a little bit of power in their life. Everybody wants, and some people want more than others. But power comes from God. But then to whom? To whom gets the power? Who does God give the power to? Number two, God, he empowers the humble. And the reason God empowers the humble, because the humble know how to handle the power. Being given power prematurely can lead to pride and arrogance. Have you ever worked with somebody that got promoted maybe a little too early? And what happens? The power gets to their head. The power gets to their head. They think they're more important than they are. They forget where they came from. And people that get power prematurely, they forget that who they serve. They forget that God has all the power. People that get power too soon, they likely crush those underneath of them because they enjoy the fact that they just get to have the power. That is premature power. Power given to those whom, power when it is given to those who have gone through the process to be prepared and know what it is to purely be humble. When they get the power, they prosper. So the road to true greatness is always humility. Humility is the ability to serve others. Joseph had this way of serving others when he was in Potiphar's house, serving when he was in the prison, and now he is serving all of Egypt. But it was a process to become the humble man he was from the prideful man he was in his adolescence. Spiritual leaders are servants. They are servants that have credibility and capability. Joseph had credibility because everywhere he went, the favor of God was on him, and he was given responsibility, and he carried it out so well that he was always given more. And Joseph had capabilities because he was very gifted, and he was an influential leader. Matthew 20:25, it actually says this, that Jesus, he calls them together, he calls people together, and he said this, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their officials exercise authority over them." But listen to these next words Jesus says. He says, "Not so with you." Not so with you. Spiritual leaders are not ones to lord it over people. So God, if that is God's mode, then he is only going to empower the humble. And if you have been looking for power in your life, then you are, if you're looking for power and promotion, then you need to probably first go through the process to learn what it is to be humble. And it takes time, but God will empower the humble. James 4:10 says this, "Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up." In other words, he will give you more responsibility. He will give you the promotion. He will give you the authority that you're looking for in your life. He will bless your life. He will give you favor, but you first have to humble yourselves before the Lord. 1 Peter, it says, "In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up right now." No. "That he may lift you up in due time." And Joseph, all of these years have gone by. The day that he was called up and given the signet ring and rule over all of Egypt, he was 30 years old. When he got the dream from God and was thrown into the pit to be sold off or killed by his brothers, he was 17. So in due time, listen, this is what I know, that God is the latest thing to always be on time. So don't sweat it. Keep being faithful to God. Be loyal to God. And this is what Joseph teaches us time and time again. So we know that power comes from God, and God empowers the humble. But why does God give people power? Because power can be misused. Power can be used to lord it over people. There is disproportionate power. But why does God give people power? Why does power come? I would say this, that the power of God rescues people. This is why the power of God, it still comes here now today, because God still has a mission to rescue people from the pits that their lives have been found in. God is still on a mission to rescue people that are entangled with brokenness, disparity, and addiction and pain. God still has a mission to rescue people, so God is still going to use his power. And so God has all the power, because remember, point one, all power comes from God. So God, he has all the supply of power. And then over here is the demand. And broken, hurt people have a demand for the power of God. So God has all the supply. People have a demand for his power because they need rescued. They need healing. They need hope. So in this realm of supply and demand, do you know what's in the middle? Do you know what's in the middle? You're in the middle. I'm in the middle. And God's power flows through a pipeline in order to get to those who need it the most. You're the pipeline. I'm the pipeline. Joseph was the pipeline. And the pipeline of power is that the power of God flows through willing vessels like you and me so that hurt people can be reached, that hope can be given, and healing can be had. In the middle is you and me. You're the pipeline of God's power to rescue people. So why does power come? The power of God comes because God wants to rescue people. And this is why God gives his power to humble people so that they don't lord it over people, but they continue God's mission in the world. Because later on in the story, in Genesis 42, the famine does hit the land, like Joseph said when he interpreted Pharaoh's dream. The famine does hit the land. And remember, all those years ago when Joseph was betrayed by his brothers, and his father wept because he thought his son Joseph was dead, but his brothers sold him off to slavery. You remember that? Yeah, all those years ago, the famine hits his family's land too. And when Jacob, Joseph's father, who has no idea Joseph is alive, he is still mourning the death of his son Joseph. But when Joseph learned that there was grain in Egypt, why was there grain in Egypt? Because Joseph had a revelation from God when he interpreted Pharaoh's dream, that he said, God is revealing to you, Pharaoh, that there's going to be this time of famine. We can prepare for it now. And they did. And it goes all the way back to Joseph's family. They hear of this truth. And he said to his sons, why are you just looking around at each other? Why just keep staring at each other? I have heard that there is grain in Egypt. Go down there and buy some for us so that we may live and not die. So if I just wonder, what would have happened if Joseph never learned the lesson of humility? Would the power of God and the favor of God ever have rested on him? And if it hadn't, if he wasn't prepared, what would have happened to Joseph's own family? What would have happened? You see, the power of God is put on humble people, but it doesn't stay with humble people, because humble people don't desire to just acquire power. Humble people use the power of God to reach more people. And so Joseph, through these tragic events, now is leading to a moment where his own family will be rescued from a famine. We'll talk more about that next week, but look at the next verse in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. It says, but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. He gives you the ability. And so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. So why does the power of God come? The power of God comes so that people can know God. So that people, God's covenant can be established. So people can be rescued and redeemed, revived, replenished. That's why the power of God comes. But how does the power of God reach the people? How does the power of God reach the broken? It reaches the broken through the power pipeline, which is you and it's me. We don't want to acquire wealth. We don't want to acquire power. We want to reach the world. So all power comes from God. God gives power to humble people. And we serve as the pipeline between all of God's supply for his power to reach the demand of hurting, needing people. We are the pipeline for his power to reach the hurting. We're the pipeline for God's power to reach our city. We are the pipeline for God's power to reach the world. So if you're wanting power in your life, if you desire influence in your life, you might be doing it wrong. You might think that promotion is power, that money is power. You might try to position yourself around the right powerful people in your life so that you get noticed and promoted. But that's not power, because all power comes from God. God has all the power. So I tell you today, position yourself rightly with God. The position of a servant is one of humility. And I want you to remember, God's power moves through us to rescue people. So when we get saved and transformed by the love of God, it's just not for our own pleasure. It's to go to work, and it's to reach those who are hurting and lost. God, I thank you that you have all the power. You are a rich father, and I am your son. And your sons and daughters are beneficiaries of your great power. You are filthy rich. You're rich in grace. You're rich in mercy, from whom all blessing and favor flows. God, I pray that you would continue to do a humbling work in your people so that your power can hit the pipeline of the church and continue to reach the world. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Hey, New Life Church, thank you so much for joining us today. If this is your first time joining us and you'd like to learn a little bit more about New Life Church, you can text the word CONNECT to the number 765-347-9127. If you're a regular New Lifer and you'd like to continue your worship through giving, there are three different ways you can give. You can give on our website, newlifeforkokomo.org. You can mail your giving to the church. The address is 1803 East Vale Avenue, Kokomo, Indiana, 46901. Or you can text New Life for Kokomo to the number 77977. Again, thank you so much for joining us, and we hope to see you guys next time.